When you enter basic training, you are not a soldier yet.
You are still a civilian. Just like if you are not baptized yet, you are still not a Christian. The drill sergeants are the Christians here, and as Christians, we need to be training up and teaching and being examples to non-Christians. Those who are non-Christians, for example, could be your kids, your family, your friends, and even your coworkers. This list could go on and on, but it's anybody who isn't a Christian yet. But one of the things that we need to be training individuals that want to be Christians, or anybody that is not a Christian, is Jesus commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you turn into your Bibles, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We can also train up our children if you go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he would not depart from it. In the beginning, it states to train up our children. Also, we sometimes don't even have to say anything, but be good examples in front of everybody. If you turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 8, Ephesians 5 and verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It says we are supposed to be shining lights. At the end, it commands us to walk as children of light. Another thing that we could be training them up is Jesus was a light to the disciples. In John 8 and verse 12, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This states that whoever will follow him will never walk in darkness. In the military, there's obstacles and steps that you need to take and pass in order to move on. The steps to being a Christian are the steps of salvation. First, we must hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Also, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Mark 16:16. Third, we must repent of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Fourth, we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. And also, we must be baptized, Acts 22 and verse 16. But it doesn't stop there. We must also live a faithful life, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Now we graduated basic training. Now we are baptized and we are Christians. The next step is AIT. AIT stands for Advanced Individual Training. It's where all soldiers go to learn their MOS jobs. If a Christian is to be strong, he must advance in his training. It is very similar to our military training. After basic, there's more training, likewise the Christian. I have six ways on how we as Christians can disciple new Christians. The first one is we need to teach them to pray to God. Prayer is our means of talking to God, thanking God, praising Him, and making known our needs. In 1 John 5:14-15, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. And how do we ask? We pray to Him. How do we talk to Him? We pray to Him. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't keep anything out of your prayer. Yes, God already knows, but He wants us to ask and tell Him. If you turn to Matthew 5 and verse 44, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This states that we should even pray for our enemies. If you turn to James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. We should always be praying for one another as Christians. And finally, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, and starting in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It states in all circumstances, the good or the bad times. Another training step is we need to train them how to study the Bible and why to study the Bible. Studying the Bible is a way to learn more of God's will, and it helps to avoid error because it teaches us what is right and what is wrong. If you turn to 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is why God gave us the Bible, to study it. How else are we going to learn God's will if we don't pick up the Bible and read it and study it? Now let's flip to the Old Testament in Psalms. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It tells us that we need to meditate on his word day and night. Another way is we need to demonstrate the value of Christian fellowship. We need each other to stay strong, and that's what we need to be showing young Christians today. If you turn to Acts chapter 2, and starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We need to be together, to do things together, because we have something in common, and that is God. The more we are together, the stronger we are. And I want to use an example here with a chain. The more links connected to that chain, the chain is stronger. So the more of us will be stronger. Also, we need to help them consider changes they might make to become more like Jesus. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We must take off our old self and put on our new self. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. We need to be showing younger Christians to be more like Jesus every day. We also need to prepare them for rough patches in their faith. If you turn to Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We need to remember that God is always there for us. And he will always be there for us when we need him the most. And the final step is we need to help them start figuring out what God's calling is to them. If you go to Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This states that we should walk worthy in our calling. Being a Christian, there is so much that we can be doing every day. Now, after all your training at Basic and AIT, you now get your orders to go to your unit. Here, we are to perform our duties for our jobs. Here is where Christians need to perform our duties of being a Christian and to show others that, yes, we are Christians. Baptism is not the end of our service to God, but it is the beginning of a lifetime commitment of total dedication to Him. Here are some duties as a Christian that we need to perform every day and every time when we come together and worship. The first one is we need to commit ourselves to the church. New Testament Christians always were recognized as part of a local church. They committed themselves to be involved and actively participate in the work of that church. I know that not everybody is able to do every duty, but if you are telling yourself that there is no way you can do that, that's what's stopping you from doing it. Just try. Who knows? You may surprise yourself, and that could one day be your calling. Also, remember, as long as you do what the Bible tells you to do, nobody here is going to negatively criticize you for it. Also, for everybody else, we need to be encouraging to one another. We need to lift each other up because that is the best medicine to keep people involved in the church. If you turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 16, Ephesians 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This verse, I think, sums it up perfectly. The more we do properly, the more the church is built up properly. Also, we need to help others that are non-Christians to learn the gospel. All Christians should work to learn how to lead others to Jesus. If you turn to 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. We need to go out and teach others and show others. If we don't do it, then who else would teach others about God? Are we going to let other religions and worldly people teach the already lost about God? No, we as Christians need to be going out into the world and teach the lost. Also, we need to be doing God's will. If you turn to Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. How are we going to teach others about God if we don't do all of God's will? If you saw me sinning in public and then I come to you and start telling you about God, would you listen to me? No, you wouldn't. You would pretty much call me a hypocrite. If we go to Matthew chapter 16, and start in verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let us always pick our cross up and follow Jesus. He is our example, and we should always want to be like him. I remember that slogan back in high school. Everybody wore it on their wrists. It was, "What would Jesus do?" Every time we have to do something or make a decision in our lives, we need to be thinking about that. What exactly would Jesus do? Now, while we are doing our duties, then all of a sudden the army wants to deploy you. And the next step is, every time you would get deployed overseas, you would need to prepare yourself for anything that could happen while over there. This time it's called preparation. As Christians, we need to be prepared and ready for anything that comes our way. We have to stay strong spiritually to overcome anything that comes at us. If you open your books to Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verses 10 through 20, God gives us everything that we need to overcome and to fight these fights. He gives us the belt of truth. We know what the truth is and what the lies are about God. He gives us the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is required by God to enter into heaven. But as humans, we cannot become righteous on our own. We need God. He also gives us the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace. We need to walk diligently with the gospel to make peace with ourselves and others. He also gives us the shield of faith. When I used body armor, I had faith that it was going to stop a bullet if I ever got shot at. Likewise, we need to have faith that God is going to protect us from evil. He also gives us the helmet of salvation. We need to believe that Jesus died for our sins and was raised up in heaven. And finally, I think he gives us the best weapon that he could ever give us, and that is the sword of the Spirit. This is our Bible. We need this with us at all times. You never know when you are going to need it and use it. This is our weapon. You aren't going to go into a battle without your weapon, are you? Because if you did, you're more than likely not going to succeed in the mission. We need to take our Bibles with us everywhere. And then that gets me to the final point, and that is, we must fight the fight. Finally, let us all go out and fight the fight. God has given us everything that we need to go out and to fight and be successful. If you turn to 2 Timothy 2, and starting in verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in a civilian pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." God enlisted us to be his soldiers. It is our duty to obey him in him always. Why did God enlist each and every one of us? Well, if you turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And why do we fight? Let's turn back to 2 Timothy and go to chapter 4 and starting in verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." We fight to get into heaven and to wear that crown of righteousness. Now, if you guys get out the bulletin that was passed out this morning, I want to end this lesson with something I wrote in the bulletin. In the Army, we have what is called the Soldier's Creed. Well, I took that creed and I reworded it and I made the Christian's Creed. And I'll read it to you. "I am a Christian soldier. I am a believer and a member of a team. I serve God alone and live the Christian values. I will always place God first. I will never let the devil win. I will never give up. I would never leave a fellow brother. I am disciplined, spiritually and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my Christian duties. I always maintain my Bible and myself. I am an example and a light. I stand ready to teach, encourage, and bring unbelievers to God. I am a guardian of the truth and the Christian way of life. I am a Christian soldier. If you want to enlist and become a soldier of Christ, then what are you waiting on? You heard the truth. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have repent that you have sinned. You confess and say out loud for all to hear that Jesus is the Son of God. Then why are you waiting to be baptized? In 2 Peter 3:9, it's one of my favorite verses. It pretty much states that God could easily be waiting on you today to be baptized. If you have already been baptized and fallen short, it is all right because we are all humans. We're not perfect. We fail from time to time. But if you want to repent and come forward or be baptized, then come forward and please stand as we stand and sing.